The Belvedere Palace of war hero Prince Eugene seemed the setting of a fairy tale on the winter morning in 2006, when a young Los Angeles attorney wearing a long black coat and an habitual air of impatience trudged through its snowy gardens to lay claim to a painting he had spent years fighting for. The lone man strode briskly along the Imperial Palace's frozen pond. Ice clung to the monumental sphinxes standing sentinel along his path, their hair swirling around fiercely beautiful faces, breasts naked between tassels hanging from armor. Their eyes cast a bold gaze of sated conquest. The lawyer was Randall Schoenberg, the grandson of a venerated Viennese composer who had fled the rise of Hitler. The return of this ominous heir was anything but welcome. The painting Schoenberg sought was a shimmering gold masterpiece, painted a century earlier by the artistic heretic Gustav Klimt. It was a portrait of Viennese society beauty Adele Bloch-Bauer. Both artist and model were long dead, but people still enjoyed speculating they had been lovers. Their artistic collaboration produced one of the greatest portraits of the modern age. Austrians regarded the painting as their Mona Lisa. So opens The Lady in Gold, the extraordinary tale of Gustav Klimt's masterpiece, Portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer, by Anne Marie O'Connor. She was one of those rarities of the modern era, a Jewish woman of social stature in pre-war Vienna, and her name was Adele Bloch-Bauer. She was the central character in a dazzling modernist portrait by renowned artist Gustav Klimt. Adele Bloch-Bauer and the artist who painted her startling painting were residents of the Habsburg Empire's central European capital of Vienna, a city awash in intellectual ferment at the turn of the last century, with cultural luminaries that included Sigmund Freud, musicians Gustav Mahler and Richard Strauss, philosopher Wittgenstein, and even American humorist Mark Twain, all of whom rubbed shoulders and joined with artists like Gustav Klimt to rock the early century with outlandish, sometimes thoughtful, often thought-provoking, new ways of looking at and interpreting the world. The Lady in Gold was just one of many wonders, and this stunning portrait, we learn, was, like the insights of Freud, the music of Richard Strauss, like the humor of Mark Twain, to become an agent of change that would reverberate for decades to come. This glorious, gold-drenched portrait became a much-desired pawn in the international chess game that would devour Austria in a Nazi epoch and reach into modern-day Southern California by the early years of this century, as the Lady in Gold's elderly niece would seek to reclaim the famous portrait for her family's own, upsetting the rarefied art world of Vienna, where the Nazi regime had deposited it, and thereby set the art world of the planet on fire. Vienna, Austria, as this true story opens, was a Central European city in the midst of tumultuous change. Vienna was seeing the rise of a new aristocracy, a group of newly wealthy Jewish and Christian merchants, bankers, and other entrepreneurs who were pushing back against an age-old, stultified wealth aristocracy, an aristocracy of tradition. The newly wealthy allying themselves with the new arts of Klimt and the recessionists, encouraging the assimilation of Jews into the larger Viennese society, and spurring the rise of a new modern architecture in the Ringstrasse area, just on the edge of old Vienna. Like today, these tides of rapid change spark sometimes harsh pushback. Longtime influential turn-of-the-century Vienna mayor Karl Luger was openly anti-Semitic. The Habsburg emperor, the venerable Franz Joseph, who had assumed the throne in 1848 and was to continue to rule until his death in the midst of World War I, 1916. This long-ruling emperor endeavored to bridge the increasingly obvious cultural divide by both encouraging new artists like Klimt to be a key participant in the construction of newly built imperial buildings, and yet, as well, making it clear that the old aristocracy had an enduring role to play as the world ran at breakneck speed to the new century. Intertwined through this cultural and political maelstrom, we discover the Bloch-Bauer family, Jewish entrepreneurs whose embrace of cultural expression gave birth to the breathtakingly beautiful and artistically important portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer that gives today's book its title. A portrait that harkened back to the splendid mosaics of Byzantine Ravenna in early medieval Italy, and yet reflected as well Europe's fascination with the flat perspective of the then-contemporary Japanese woodblock paintings. A portrait breathtakingly clad in a sparkling gold leaf and featuring a distinctly erotic young matron whose gaze would excite art lovers from the turn of the last century to now. This true story of the Bloch-Bauer family takes us from 1890s Habsburg Vienna through the Nazi invasion of Austria and resulting World War II, and the family's sometimes successful and always harrowing flight to the United States just before the Holocaust swept so many of their friends and colleagues away in the 1930s and 1940s. Adolf Hitler receives a not-so-brief storytelling here as well. His now well-known rejection by the art world of Vienna yet resulted in the Nazi rampage and pillaging of master artworks from across their conquered lands, not the least that of the Lady in Gold, which sets us in motion for the last quarter of this book. The role of art restitution, which takes up the last quarter of the book, where Adele Bauer Bloch's now elderly niece Maria and the dashing young lawyer Randall Schoenberg claim a righteous goal as they take their case successfully and ultimately to the Supreme Court of the United States, retrieving the stunning Klimt painting of Adele Bloch-Bauer for the Bloch-Bauer family, wresting it from the ownership of the Austrian government, a struggle recently portrayed in motion picture format with a film that starred both Helen Mirren and Ryan Reynolds. This does beg the question, I think, of the ethics of ownership. Does this painting ultimately belong to the family that originally commissioned it, to the Bloch-Bauers? Or does it and paintings like it belong in a national museum? Is it part of a national treasure? In this case, the Belvedere Museum in Austria. Who wanted Gustav Klimt and other artists to be remembered for the great art they painted in the nation which supported their art and in which they were painted? Well, it's a question that our author does not directly answer, but it's a question that haunts this beautiful painting of this young matron and the artist who painted it. As our author tells us in her closing words about this entire subject, the public wrangle seemed a strange fate for a work of art so intimate. The portrait of Adele is not a field of lilies or a starry night. Here, in her naked eyes, lies a story that is more diary than novel. A painting comes from a time and place. Those who have heard the story of the portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer can never again see her as a lady in gold. Frozen in Vienna's golden moment, Adele achieved her dream of immortality, far more than she could ever have imagined. And that, writes our author, is the power of art. It's an incredible story of a family, of a time, of a place, and of a beautiful, beautiful portrait, which graces the cover, by the way. The Lady in Gold, the extraordinary tale of Gustav Klimt's masterpiece, Portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer by Anne-Marie O'Connor. It's a fantastic read, some great photos in here as well. And it's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.